Hallelujah. You can turn to Proverbs 13, and we've been talking about the light, walking in the light. It's what we started on last night. And, you know, you either walk in darkness, like I said, or you walk in light. And, you know, without God, without the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God leading you, you're not going to walk in that light. Unless you're with Him. You may think you're having a good time and being in the world is such a great thing, but actually you're going to have a rude awakening one day when you find out that you're not in heaven, but you're in hell. You know, and I have a lot of sorrow for these people that are on drugs and alcohol and are running away from God instead of running toward Him. Because when they're running away from God, there's no chance that God can get them and take them to heaven with Him when they're running away. But if they will turn and go toward Him, I mean, He is more than willing to meet them quickly. It doesn't take much for Him to meet them halfway. It don't even have to be halfway. He'll go over halfway just to get someone to take to heaven with Him. He wants not one soul lost. But you can't be running away from God, because then if you run away from God, you can get so far away from Him that He can't get to you. It's not that He don't want to. He can't get to you and take you by the hand because you've run so far away. See, and so we've got to run toward the light. We've got to run toward God. And you can't walk in the light if you're in darkness. And if you're in darkness, you're going to stumble and fall. And we talked about that last night, that you have to be walking in the light of the Holy Spirit in fellowship with God, because if you're not in fellowship with God, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. And here in Proverbs 13:4, it says this, because you've got to decide. You've got to be the one to make the decision. These pastors can't make the decision for you. I can't make the decision for you. You've got to make the decision to walk toward the light, to walk in the light of God. You've got to make that decision. And in 13:4 it says, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. Everyone desires, even a lazy man, desires for better and greater things. But it says that a lazy man has nothing. And then it goes on, it says, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. And you can say, well, he's talking about there that if I don't work, I don't eat. Well, that's true. That is one part of it in the natural that he's talking about. But he's also talking about this, that the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. If you're a diligent person seeking out God and walking toward Him, you're going to be made rich in all things. If you're not, you're going to be left without, and you're going to be left behind. You don't want to be left behind. Well, I thought it was just talking about, you know, man being lazy in the natural. That is partly what it's talking about, but that's not the total picture, folks. See, you've got to be diligent enough to want to pray. You've got to be diligent enough to take those steps to pray, to walk in the Spirit of God, to walk in the light of God. You've got to be the one. You're the one that has to be diligent. If you're lazy, well, I just don't want to pray, you know. I would like to, and I would like to have the things of God, and I would like to have the calling of God upon my life, but yeah, you know, I got other things to do. That's not being a diligent person. By the way, I might have said man, it means women too, okay? So you've got to decide that you're going to be the one that's diligent and walk toward Him and walk toward the things of God, because if you don't, you're going to be left out in the cold. And you're not, first of all, if you don't walk toward God and reach out for Him, you're not going to end up in heaven. And if you are, even if you are saved, there is those other steps of going ahead and walking toward God and walking in His light that you may accomplish those things. I want every person in here in this room right now, I want you to look at yourself. Look at yourself. Look at your life. The things that you don't like about your life, and even the things that you do like that may not quite be right, God can help you change. You're not left without help. You don't have to stay where you're at today. You don't like your life. You don't like how it's headed. You don't like what it's become. You can change it. But you've got to walk toward Him. You've got to give Him that opportunity to change it for you. That's probably God. Just tell Him I'll call Him back here in just a little bit. I'm busy doing His message. You've got to walk toward Him. You can't just say, I want to change, and then not expect to be able to do it without doing something to make those changes. So whatever it is you're doing right now, and you don't like a part of your life, that means you're probably doing some things wrong. Some things need changed. And you know, when you look at your life or you look at yourself, whatever you are and whatever your life is because of what you are on the inside. See, it starts on the inside first. It manifests on the outside. It doesn't start on the outside. A dope dealer doesn't start on the outside. It starts within him or her, and they have to make changes to stay out of those drugs, to stay out of that alcohol, to stay off those pills. They have to make some changes in their life. The first change is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. And you start that change, and then the things on the outside that you don't like. And I know you're here, and you're saying, well, there is a part of my life that I don't like, and I'm sure you like it. You dislike it more than anyone else around. And I understand that, because the parts of my life that I don't like, I hate more than anyone hates. I'm sure there's things that Shelly could tell you that she don't like about me that she wishes I would change. And you know what? I wish I would change them too. Even more so. But you've got to start doing the right things necessary to walk out of those things and to walk into the light in that area of your life. And see, the enemy, he would like nothing more than to get you to stop praying. You know, yeah, you're talking about prayer once again. Yes, I am. He would like nothing more than to get you to stop praying. Whatever it takes, whether it be your job, whether it be your finances, whether it be your wife, whether it be your husband, whether it be your kids, regardless, your family, regardless, he will take anything he can get a hold of and stop you from that prayer life that you've got started. We've been here 4 years now, and even if you never listened to another message on audio or read another book by someone, you have enough going in your life right now that we've planted since we've been coming here to get you out of where you're at into something new. You have enough. You know, I love listening to Pastor Dave's messages on the website. I love listening to Gary Carpenter's messages. I love listening to Charlie Rogers' messages. But you know what? There comes a time that you have to apply what's in those messages. You can't just listen and listen and listen and listen for the rest of your life. You have to become doers of the word, doers of those messages at some point. They're wonderful messages. They're wonderful messages. And I love every one of them, but you, at some point, you have to begin to do what you've heard to do. And you can't stop. He'll do everything he can to talk you out of it, to trick you out of it, to stop you. He'll do everything he can. You've got to make the decision. I'm going to walk in the light, and I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to be diligent. I'm not going to be a lazy person. You say, well, I'm not a lazy person. I work a job every day. What do you do when you come home after that job? Do you find some prayer time later on? If you don't, then listen. Let's just call it what it is. You're being lazy. So, well, you don't have the life that I have. No, I have a different life. And I have to push myself into prayer also sometimes. Sometimes it's not that easy. But we have to do it. We don't have any choice if we want to go forward and if we want to become rich. Rich in the things of God. Rich in the things that He has given us. The things of heaven. See, we've got to keep going that direction. We can't stop. See. Well, you just don't have to walk in my life. No, but I have to walk in my life, and your life ain't much different than mine. You know, in Peru, when we go down there, you can just see the looks on their faces part of the time when I'm preaching and stuff. They're sitting there thinking, yeah, but you don't have the life that we have down here in the States. Well, the thing is they have the same devil that we have in the United States. They have the same flesh that we have here in the States. They have the same soul and emotions that we have here in the States. We have the same as they have. It's all the same ball game. We got the same enemy. We're all on the same team. We just got to keep going forward and not stop. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. We got to keep going, and we've been given everything necessary that it takes to go ahead and make that walk forward. Hallelujah. You know, and another thing we got to understand is, I know some of you cringe whenever I bring up prayer because you think, well, I've heard you come up here and you have that same message every time. Well, that just shows you'll get it one of these days. I have faith, and God has faith that you'll get it. You know, and what you got to understand is you say, well, I'll worship God more. I won't pray, but I'll worship God. That's fine for a start. But listen, worship and fasting doesn't do what praying in other tongues does for your life. If you've got things on the inside of you that is causing your life to be the way it is, prayer in other tongues is what's going to get you out of that. It's what's going to change your life. It's what's going to change the inside that you can have something different on the outside. Worship sustains you while you're in the transformation process. It doesn't do the transforming. Praying in other tongues is the gift of transformation. That's how you transform. That's why we say, it's good to listen to those audios about praying in other tongues, but at some point, you got to pray in other tongues. At some point, you have to make that decision to be diligent to do that. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to I believe it's 1 John. No, I'm sorry, 3 John. Little John, the third one. Verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. As you prosper, so are you going to be in good health and so are you going to prosper in other things. But it gives that as a requirement that you've got to prosper inside you. Your life's got to prosper internally inside you. Your spirit, your soul has all got to prosper before you can expect to have the rest of it. It makes it very plain there. So you say, well, I don't like how my life's going. I want to make changes. I want to be something different. I want to do something different. Then start changing the things between you and God. start seeking him and making that trip out so that these other changes can come about. Because as the light comes in and shines in the corners of your life and begins to reveal things where you can make the change, it doesn't say that I'll make them. It doesn't even say that God will make them. He will reveal them, and you get the opportunity to make that change. Do you think that a liar just all of a sudden, God just changes him from being a liar? He can set him on the right path, but that liar has to decide, I'm not going to lie anymore, and because of the power of God, then therefore I can be free. And with God's help and your decision, you can quit lying. You can start telling the truth. Nobody likes a liar. Nobody likes a thief. But God will help you make those changes. Doesn't matter what it is. I'm picking out a couple of things. It could be something else. But God will help you make those changes. But you have to decide, I don't like it. When you don't like it bad enough, you'll get rid of it. You'll walk in the light and come out on the other side and be rid of it. When you decide that I don't want it anymore. You have to decide. God won't decide for you because he won't put you into it. But he will help you out of it if you make that decision. Amen? Hallelujah. I do. I just love it. I mean, all I got to do is make a decision that I don't like something in my life. He provides the power and what's necessary, the light to shine upon my life that I can get rid of it. And I can make that decision, I don't like it anymore, and he can give me the power and what's necessary to walk out of it. I just love it, don't you, Ben? God's so wonderful. He has a whole plan for each one of us. He has a wonderful plan for each one of us. That we can walk out of where we're at into something glorious and wonderful and supply all the needs necessary in our lives. I've seen him put families back together because of decisions that were made. I've seen him set jailbirds straight on the right path. There were nothing but thieves and thugs. He set them straight because of the decision they made. They started walking a narrow path, walking in that glorious light. Like I said, I'm not here to judge anyone or to condemn anyone. I'm here to shine the light in the corners of people's lives. You have to make the decision to change something. You know, you might say, well, I'm divorced or I'm single and I'm looking for a man or a woman for my life. Depending on what you are. If you're a man, you need to be looking for a woman. If you're a woman, you need to be looking for a man. You know, that works both ways. You know. You might say, I'm looking for me a mate. Well, maybe God, the reason he ain't brought one into your life, into your path, is because he's shining the light upon your life, wanting you to make a change in some areas. And he's waiting for you to make that change so he can bring someone in. Why would he want you with all that baggage and then bring somebody into your life and you're carrying all that baggage that he expects you to get rid of? Why would he do that? No, he wants you to change those things where he can bring the two of you together. It may be someone you've never seen before, like it was with Shelley and I. All I had of her was a picture that he showed me in my mind one night when I was sleeping. I didn't know who she was. I'd never met her. He showed me who it was going to be, and And I thought, French? Who wants anybody that's French? You know, I didn't know who it was. I'm just being honest. She knows this. You know, but it was a while yet before he put us together and we got introduced. There was other things that I had to deal with. There was other things that I had to take a trip. He wanted me out of debt, for one thing. By the time we were married, I was out of debt. I was well on my way when I met her, by the way. See, there was things that he wanted me to take care of and to fall in line because he wanted me to be able to support her. See. Well, you can't do that. You can't support a new wife and a wonderful wife, you know, if you're burdened down in all kinds of debt. And there was other things. What things? Well, none of your business. I haven't asked you your things. I've just started shining the light. He says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. As you prosper in the Spirit, as you prosper and your soul prospers, and you prosper in the Spirit, as those things happen, then the rest of it falls in place and is added to you. See? You know, and another thing, quit blaming God. Which of you here is blaming God? There's somebody here blaming God. Quit blaming God. You don't have to raise your hand. I already know you're here. Quit blaming God. God's your answer. He's not your problem. He didn't cause you to be your old self. He didn't cause you to be a thug or whatever you are. He didn't cause that. He's your answer. He's the one that'll help you. He's the one that'll change you and put you on the right path. You keep blaming God and you'll just twirl around and spin around and, you know, and go around in circles and keep going around that mountain that we've talked about in the past. Look at that same cedar tree as you pass by each time and that same big rock that you seen on the trail the last time you went around. You'll just keep going around in circles. See? You got to put the blame where the blame belongs is what I'm getting at. And it's not with God. God is your answer. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, our answer is to go into prayer, stay in prayer, keep praying in other tongues, because that's what changes us on the inside. Those things that we need changed on the inside, that's what changes them. It brings them to the surface. We get, God shines a light on them, we get to do something about them. Say, well, what if I ain't ready at that point to do anything about them? That's okay. The next time he shines a light on them, maybe you'll be ready then. Hopefully your life won't be cut short. Hopefully you won't take an early trip to heaven. Hopefully you'll get another chance to change them. I'd rather change them as quick as I can change them because I want to be prosperous. I want to be fruitful. I want to be a diligent person that becomes fruitful. Amen? A diligent person is going to be fruitful. You need to keep that in Proverbs 13:4. You need to keep that marked, highlighted. Keep a marker there. Keep reminding yourself of what that verse says, that a diligent person is fruitful, bears fruit. A diligent person in what? In all things concerning God. Hallelujah. A lazy person doesn't get anywhere. You know, they stall out. They go so far in God, they're lazy. They won't get rid of the laziness. They're too lazy to go and pray sometimes, separate themselves from the family and pray, take some time to pray. Too lazy to find the time to pray, too lazy to pray. But if they're diligent in finding that time and sticking with it, then they will become fruitful. In what amount of time will this happen, Brother Charlie? Depends on how bad you are. How bad a thing you got to deal with. That's what it amounts to. But eventually it will happen. You'll become fruitful. So you begin to pray in other tongues, and you know, and people, they blame the devil a lot, but actually what's happened is the things that are on the inside of us. The enemy just, that gives him a hold on the inside of us to cause those things to happen. It's not really the devil, because if we put to death those things and got rid of them, he wouldn't have anything to get a hold of. See? We could go right on and keep going forward. Non-stop. It's easy when things are going good to believe in God. Do you hear me? I said it's easy when things are going good to be all hooray and ha-ha and hooray for God at that time. When things are bad, we find out where you're really at. We find out where your faith is at. It's easy to believe Him when things are going good. Oh, things are so good. Glory to God, sister, isn't things good? I just, isn't God great? What are you so happy about? Oh, I'm prospering and God just keeps giving me this left and right. Glory to God. God is great. God is good. What you so down about? Hey, it's easy. It's easy when things are going the right direction. But see, when things are going the right direction, it's when you need to be pressing in that you'll be ready when things aren't going so good. Then you'll be ready to meet the enemy head on and meet those things in your life that need change. Are you getting a hold of this? Hallelujah. Is this the same message I preached 4 years ago? No, it's not. It's really not. I can see where you could think it might be, but it's really not. We're talking about here letting Him shine that light in all areas of your life, and you continuing to walk in the light after it's shown in your life. To be diligent about it. Proverbs 13:4. No, Proverbs 13:4. After that was 3 John. 3 John, verse 2. No problem. No problem. I'm sort of like Gary Carpenter. I've got a party going on in my head, too. Hallelujah. That wasn't a trick question, Zach, by the way. But this is a trip into God. And this trip just keeps going, and then one day you go to heaven, you go up to the throne. You know, and I mentioned to you last night, you know, you might as well get used to doing things. If God sent you to this church, told you to go to this church, then He wants you to do something in this church, or He wouldn't have sent you here. When you get to heaven, You're going to be doing something in heaven. You ain't going to be just floating around on a cloud. You're going to be doing things. There's several accounts of people going to heaven, dying and going to heaven and coming back. And all of them said the same story, that there was things assigned to everybody to do when they were in heaven. Well, hey, you might as well get used to it while you're here on earth. If he sent you to this church or sent you to another church, he meant for you to do something. If he set you in this church, set you down here, then you're supposed to be doing something to assist in this church. For some, it might be giving of finances. For some, it might be giving of time. For some, it might be giving of both finances and time. See? But he does not endorse pew warmers, chair warmers. Understand? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. But your first step out, if you're here and you haven't given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, tonight is the time. You can't walk in that light. You can't walk toward Him and walk in that light unless you're born again. That's the only way to heaven. The only way out of your problems that you're in. Regardless what they are, I don't have any idea, but the only way out is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way out. He's the path to take. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me a way out. Thank you, Jesus, for shining that light on the path. Glory be. Hallelujah. Glory be. Thank you, Jesus. So when I pray in other tongues, I use that prayer language then. I'm not only praying down, what God has said about my life and His direction for my life, but at the same time, I'm edifying myself and building myself up above those problems that I've got in my life. Those things in my life that need change, I'm building myself up where I can have the victory over those things in my life. Multi-purpose tool, praying in other tongues. The first multi-purpose tool known to man was praying in other tongues. You know, you've seen these multi-purpose tools where they have a knife and a pliers and, you know, and the screwdriver and the nail clippers, the fingernail file, you know, they got all this stuff. First multi-purpose tool was praying in other tongues. It accomplishes a lot of things. Stand to your feet.